2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The noon hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station.
It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Oh, hey guys.
Hey, this is Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Look at you catching strays here.
That was AI.
It sounds like it.
That is AI.
Oh, it's your old voicemail. Is that your new voicemail, too?
I don't have one now. Okay. I didn't even set up a voicemail.
That's what I haven't set up a voicemail.
And nobody, voicemails are gone to the wayside.
Yeah. Remember when we used to spend so much time and you'd be like, you've reached the cellular telephone of blah, blah, blah. If, whatever. So now those are gone. You just let the lady just do her thing.
When's the last time you listened to a voicemail?
Oh, geez. Probably yours.
Lloyd, when's the
do
last
time? Do you even leave voicemails anymore?
When's like, the last time somebody...
No. You mean like left a voicemail?
No. Listen to some... A voicemail that somebody left you.
Oh, all the time. All the time.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, because my dad calls me all the time.
My dad pocket dials me at least like 3 minutes.
Oh, so you guys listen to voice. So you do have a voicemail.
Oh, I do have a voicemail, yeah.
Like, call mine. I don't think I have a voicemail set up. I think it says...
It'll say the number. Are you sure you want to do that?
Well, no, you may not have it set up. Then they'll say, the person you've reached has not set up a... Hold on.
Man, Scotty, I'm still burping smoke. Lloyd, are you still burping smoke?
No, I offset it with some Korean food.
Did wow!
Really? Yeah. So now you're burping.
Yes.
Like a teriyaki.
Send me the voicemail here so we can see what you got going on.
Oh. All right. Let's see.
It's gonna have the number.
How do you do that? Do you know?
Yeah, you just
hit the side twice.
Oh, like that.
Okay. I'm sorry. The person you are trying to reach has a voicemail box that has not been set up.
Yeah, you got to set up your voicemail.
I don't even know. I didn't think people left him anymore.
Yeah. Well,
they
I don't
would
know,
like
do
to,
they?
Probably.
Because when you call somebody, they don't answer, then you send a text like, hey, man, answer your phone.
At 975Hants or at Scotty G Zone, when's the last time you answered or listened to a voicemail? And Scotty, did you get to hear the list?
I did not.
Man, they're strict on that show.
How old are
you? I made a mistake. And I wanted to get Kathy Bates or Daryl Hannah, and
it's quite the spectrum there.
You left off Angela Lansbury.
Yeah, Angela.
Well, wait a minute. What was the question?
Best leading lady
ever, or in like a
ever?
I don't think Kathy Bates nor Daryl Hannah should be on that list.
So this is my list. Julie Roberts.
Okay.
Julie Andrews.
Oh, geez. No wonder you lost.
I haven't lost yet.
You said I'm going to lose that.
Well, I probably am because I thought Jake's list was pretty good. So Julie Andrews, Julia Roberts, Meryl Streep.
Okay.
Molly Ringwald.
Oh, geez.
That's the one that did you in right there. Well, I love me some Molly Ringwald. Don't get me wrong.
And Kelly LeBrock.
Who did like one movie.
Did Sarah even know who Sarah? Or,
no, she didn't. My heart got in the way on that one.
Okay, so who did Jake go with? You know, you have Jake's list?
He went with Liz Taylor.
Elizabeth Taylor?
Elizabeth Taylor.
What?
He's an old soul.
What is this? It's not 1930.
So Jake went with Elizabeth Taylor, Diane Lane. I think we know why.
Yeah. That one. Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson, Holly Hunter, and Frances McDermott.
Frances McDermott's crying good. Out loud.
Frances McDermott's good.
I'm going to beat all of you. Can I jump in on this?
Sure.
Why not? We typically take it over anyways.
All right.
Hands and Scotty take over.
Michelle Pfeiffer. Did somebody have Sigourney Weaver?
No.
Sigourney Weaver. What? Alien, man. She was
okay, I got you.
You can't, hey, you can't have
That's fine.
Daryl Hannah.
I won't take Daryl Hannah.
I did not see Sigourney Weaver.
You can't have Kathy Bates.
Man, fine. She was cutthroat in that one business movie with Melanie Griffith.
Who is the older sister in A League of Their Own? Gina Davis.
Gina Davis.
Okay. Give me Gina Davis.
Gina Davis from The Fly?
Yeah.
She was in a bunch of vampire movies, and she was in the remote control Adam Sandler movie.
Oh, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Stop it. Not Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You know who I'm talking about.
Kate.
Kate Blanchett. No.
Beckinsale.
Kate Beckinsale.
I think Jake's list still has your list. I think Jake's list still has both our lists.
And give me... Hold on here.
Kate Beckinsale. Gina Davis. Michelle Pfeiffer. Sigourney Weaver.
We'll go recent.
Sigourney.
We'll go recent. Jennifer Lawrence.
I still like my list because you don't have Julie Roberts or Julie Andrews.
Well, Julie Roberts is going to be a problem. Julie Andrews is not.
What?
No.
Name one.
You know what? Hold on.
Female that was more talented.
Wait, you're going to have to talk to Sarah now. Your list has been done.
No. Strike Gina Davis.
You can't.
No, Gina Davis.
You can't. She's not letting you.
She's shaking her head, so.
Yeah. Sarah, come on.
No, you can't.
I'm doing this on the fly here.
I get it. So did I. And
what do you think they're
you
doing?
You had time to prepare.
I didn't. I tried to get rid of Kelly LeBrock, and I was shut down. I even offered $25 Venmo and shut down.
By the way, that would have been in $2 weekly or monthly installments.
I take one loan from you.
Of $10.
No, it was a $50 loan, and I paid it back in fives. Oh, ha, ha, ha. It wasn't a year. It was 10 months.
For $10.
Come on, let me...
A dollar a month.
Let me swap out Gina real quick.
Well, tell me who you're going with.
Who you Natalie Portman.
Wish we could do it. Just can't. Natalie Portman's a good one. If she switches out Kathy Bates... For Kelly LeBrock, then we're all good.
Okay, can we do that? I'll do that.
But Jake's not going to have any of this.
Oh, well, yeah, Jake's not listening. He doesn't need to know.
The thing is, Sarah's not budging.
Sarah, what do you think?
She's not budging.
Let Sarah hop on the mic real quick. Let us plead our case here with Sarah.
What's going on back there, Lloyd? She doesn't want to jump on?
Well, because I'm going on and off with the mic when we were discussing these, we missed a couple.
Oh, okay. Well, here's my list then, if she missed it.
No.
Don't do that. Be honest here.
Okay. Kate Beckinsale.
Gina Davis.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Gina Davis.
Michelle Pfeiffer is the first one you should
Sigourney
missed.
Weaver. Jennifer Lawrence.
And Gina Davis.
And Natalie Portman.
Don't do Natalie, Sarah.
Natalie Portman.
Lloyd, I know that you were there when...
Sigourney, Gina, Kate, Michelle Pfeiffer, and...
You know what? I'm fine with Gina Davis. You know what? Fine.
Well, we already have Gina.
It's probably going to be mine. It'll probably be mine. And I think Jake's going to be hard to beat.
Michelle Pfeiffer, what'd you go with? What's your fifth? Sigourney, Gina, Kate.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah. That's right. I forgot. Okay. There we go.
I probably should have gone Natalie Portman over Jennifer Lawrence.
Hector says, I only listen to voicemails on my work phone, but I don't leave any voicemails anymore.
Where's Angela Lansbury on your list?
Well, I would still have her probably in my top 10, but I don't think Angela Lansbury is pulling votes. I think Kelly LeBrock will pull some votes.
Kelly LeBrock's pulling no votes.
We don't know that. Maybe. I was going to go with Mary Stuart Masterson.
Yeah, you'd been better off with that.
I really like Mary Stuart Masterson.
Come on. Let's talk about Angela Lansbury.
Hey, Mama.
What's up, Mama?
Angela Lansbury. This is so dumb.
Has Sarah heard this?
Bed knobs and broomsticks. It wasn't raining yet, but it was definitely a little misty on that warm November night. And my heart was pounding, my inner voice resounding, begging me to turn away. But I just had to see your face to feel alive. And then you casually walked in the room, and I was twisted in the web of my desire for you. And I was twisted. My apprehension blew away. I only wanted you to taste my sadness as you kissed me in the dark.
What are we doing?
I am thinking of you in my sleepless solitude tonight.
Well, 14
if it was wrong to love you, then my heart just won't let me be right. Because I've drowned in you, and I won't pull through without you by my side. I'd give my all to have you. Just one more night with you. I'd risk my life to feel you next to me. Because I can't go on living in this memory. Of our song, I'd give my all for your love tonight. What are we doing?
It's the greatest thing of all time.
No, it is not.
It is the greatest thing.
That's the dumbest
that's
thing.
That's ever been on our radio show.
How can you just press play on that? And then we sit here for 8 minutes and listen to that.
8 minutes of greatness, by the way. And shame on you. You devote an entire song to Angela Lansbury, but you do not have her on your top five leading ladies list.
I do not remember actually even making that for her. I don't even remember what that was from.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago. Where did you even get that?
Oh, that was our buddy Johnny did that.
Johnny did that.
Oh. Oh, I remember now.
Yeah.
That was like...
And it was...
It was actually...
And you were reading the lyrics of...
J-Lo. Wasn't it something with J-Lo and...
Jennifer. Yeah, and it was for Derek Jeter or something. Like she wrote a song for Derek Jeter.
Something like that.
Was it J-Lo?
I don't know. Somebody. No, it was
Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey, yeah.
Yes.
Mariah Carey.
Okay. Now I remember. And it's still trash. Who's that one, Lloyd? So how come that one didn't get lost on the...
Well, that got made while we were over here.
No, it didn't.
No, that's only like a year old.
That's not very old.
Yeah, it feels older.
Wow. Much like Angela Lansbury.
It's quite the ode. Look, I'm not gonna deny I loved Angela when I was younger, but she didn't make my list.
If you could redo it, she would be on it.
Colton tweets in, he said, no Sandra Bullock, huh?
Oh, boy, we all dropped the ball on that one.
That's a big one.
Yeah, yep.
That's
good
a big
job,
one.
Colton. Man, I was... Eesh.
That's a big one.
I don't even... you know what? Sarah, don't even put my list up there. We're all going to get mocked, and I don't want to...
He said too late. Sorry.
It's up there.
Oh, man, how did we drop the ball on that?
Sandra Bullock. That's a miss.
She's no Kelly LeBlanc, though.
It's a big L, Lloyd.
See that?
No Kelly LeBrock.
You got to have that drop ready, Lloyd. That's a big L, Lloyd.
It's a big L, Lloyd.
All right, let's get to it. 12:17, starting lineup right now. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It is your starting lineup. It's all brought to you by Lee's Heating and Air, home of the award-winning line of America's Standard Furnaces and Air Conditioners. Call or visit leesheatac.com to schedule a free in-home estimate or get yourself a free second opinion. Let's go. Leesheatac.com.
Did you see this story that Mitch Harper just posted at kslsports.com?
Hit me.
BYU announced its version of a transfer portal camp on Wednesday. The camps will occur from June 5th to 7th. And June 12th to 14th in Provo, $50 per session. Athletes eligible to compete are post-high school graduate players, including two-year and four-year transfers. That covers transfer portal athletes plus junior college transfers.
Why has nobody thought about this before? This is pretty brilliant, actually.
A couple of these have started to leak out, I guess.
I get Colorado and Nebraska apparently have, according to the story.
Guess, is that what he said?
Yeah. Colorado and Nebraska have announced their post-grad camps as well. Appears to be a new trend. This is interesting. We might need to get Mitch on the line on this one.
Well, with what's going on with the transfer portal and not knowing these players, the thing is, can you, if you find one you like or you've got questions on, can you bring them to the camp?
I would say there's probably a couple that you might be able to bring in as technically a visit. But for the most part, you're just saying, look, if you're in the portal, we're going to have this camp. If you can get here, we'll work you out and we'll see what you got.
Yeah, because let's not forget that there's probably over 1,500 players that are going to sit in the portal without an opportunity.
Without an opportunity, correct.
So if you've jumped in the portal, you left your scholarship and you left your university thinking that there was going to be bigger and better things for you, and now you're sitting and waiting, you can jump into these camps.
It's brilliant. Honestly, extremely brilliant.
I am so locked into old school NCAA thinking that everything's a violation that I don't think out of the box enough.
Yeah.
I'm just so locked into that fear of NCAA violations that embarrass a coach and embarrass a university, and then you become this pariah, this person that's just hated. You know, I've never felt like some of these guys that have violated NCAA violations, and I know when I say that to you, there are three or four names that instantly pop in your head, and there's negative connotations attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always so afraid of that I don't think outside of the box enough. This is thinking outside of the box.
Like, yes.
All right, is there gray area here? Yeah, there's plenty. There has been a large gray area that's developed over the last couple of years. Okay, let's jump in it. Until that becomes either black or white, we're just going to sit here in this gray. And I don't even know if that's gray. It might be white. I don't know. Don't know where it is.
Look, if a kid doesn't have anywhere to go, and you're like, hey, you know, what's the difference between this and open tryouts with kids on campus? They do that, you know, when they're looking for walk-ons, you see schools all the time do a walk-on tryout and say, look, you know what? If you played high school and let's say you went on a mission and you kind of fell through the cracks, but you were pretty good, guess what? We're going to have open tryouts. You want to come and battle for a walk-on spot? We'll see what you got. Here's the thing. Like, look, if you're in the transfer portal and nobody's calling, and for whatever reason, you thought that people would be lining up, but you haven't gotten a shot yet, we're giving you a shot now. If you can find a way to get to Provo, get here, $50, and we'll see what you got. We'll give you a shot.
Put our eyes on you.
Yeah.
My guess is you'll get anywhere from 20 to 40 guys.
Probably.
All right, so let's say you get 20 to 40 guys. Let's say Kalani's there with 8 of his assistants or 7 of his assistants. You know, you're putting one coach for every 2 guys, one coach for every 4 guys, maybe. at the high end, maybe one coach for every five guys. That's a lot of eyeballs.
Yeah.
That's a lot of opportunity.
And that's all you want as a kid. Just, I want a shot. Yeah. I want to be able to prove to you what I can do.
Yeah. Give me a look. Put me on a scale and I'll prove to you I'm 315.
Yeah.
Then put me on the field and I'll prove to you that I'm a 498. And then put me in pads and I'll prove to you I can take the pass set and I'll shut down whatever edge you decide you bring in. Whatever you want to do. Put me on the field. Put me in pads. I'll hit every route that you can ask of me. And to have that opportunity, I think it's great. You know what would drive me nuts is being the evaluator.
Yeah.
You and I have thrown our hats in the ring.
Yeah, we got to talk about this too.
No, I don't know.
No, actually, we can't talk about this.
Yeah, I don't think we want to talk about it. But in different occasions, you and I have kind of thrown our hats into the evaluation ring.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's good we do what we do.
Yeah. We put our name on some people and it didn't quite pan out for us.
Yeah, it's happened in the past.
In fact, I had a conversation with somebody the other day that reminded me of both of those situations. With a big fat thank you very much.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy that's got 30 transfer portal players and you're like, okay, so what separates him from him? They're both 285 pounds. They're both 6'5". They're both built like an Adonis. Like, what separates them? They both have a really quick, fast twitch first step. They both have sticky fingers. They are all five of them. These are transfer portal guys. I mean, these guys have had some time at the college ranks.
Yeah.
My guess is this is how I'd run it. I'd circle guys. I'd say, all right, so if these 20 guys, have they landed a spot? No. Okay, they were a maybe for our offer out of the portal. These are all maybes. Bring all 20 of them in. We'll figure it out. Okay, well, figure out a way.
Yeah.
To get the 20 in so we can get a good look at this. Talk to them, meet them, listen to them, watch them, see them around our coaches and our guys. I mean, it's pretty brilliant.
Yeah.
And don't you think that some iteration of this will pop up in Logan? And
everybody's going to do it.
In Utah.
Yeah, absolutely. You'd be silly not to. Especially when you're just saying, hey, look, you feel like everybody's overlooked you. You feel like you got something to prove. Your old coach didn't like you and shoved you out the door. Well, guess what? You got a clean slate here. We're going to have a 3-hour session. All you got to do is come up with $50 and some gas money to get here. And you can prove to us why you deserve a scholarship and you were wronged by your previous staff.
Yep.
That's all you got.
Want to know the backstory.
You don't need to tell us your sob story. We don't need to know why you're in the portal. Fact is, you're there now, and if you want a shot, we'll give it to you. Let's go. All right, 12:25, Hans and Scotty, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Wednesday, everybody. We'll have a chance to hear from Kurt Helin coming up later on in the show. We'll chat some NBA with him. Hey, there's still a team. There's still a pulse with the Boston Celtics. We'll talk more about that as well. It's all straight ahead right here on the Zone.
Your home for Real Salt Lake is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
RSL beat Colorado Saturday. Can they do it again tonight? It's the U.S. Open Cup, round of 16, winner to the quarterfinals. Pregame show tonight at 7, first kick at 8 o'clock.
Catch every moment of every RSL match right here on your exclusive home of Real Salt Lake. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show? Every moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, just like that, we're back. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. I'm not even ready, Lloyd. You caught me off guard. Caller, not right now, but keep listening for your chance to win tickets to go see Nate Bargatze. Tickets on sale for the Be Funny tour live at the Delta Center, September 29th and 30th at 7 p.m. Visit Ticketmaster.com and keep listening. We'll be giving away tickets here shortly. All right, Hans, Eastern Conference. I thought if there was a series that could get to five, it would be the Lakers getting a win in game four, but Lakers are done, and I thought for sure, and I think you and I were on the same page, I thought that the Boston Celtics would roll over and play dead, but hey, they showed a little fight last night, and this series is going back to Boston with the Celtics having a chance to make this 3-2 after picking up a win last night. A little surprised to see that, actually.
I was surprised, too. Thought Boston would lay over, and they didn't. But it was one of those rare nights, Scotty, where Miami didn't shoot 100% from three.
Yeah.
They went 8 of 32 for 25%. And on the flip side, Boston went 18 of 45 and hit 40%. And I think that that is the shift. I think when Miami's hitting, and they've hit 50-plus percent a couple times in this series already. When Miami hits on the perimeter, Miami's good, unstoppable, probably beats Boston. And they're going to figure out a way to do that in one of the next three games. And they're going to end. I can't fathom that Boston finds a way to be the first ever out of an 0-3 hole. So I feel like it's just a matter of time. But one thing I love about sports, and one of my favorite parts about doing this job, is watching the unimaginable, watching basically movie storylines take place right in front of us that you couldn't write. That's what sports does. It organically and naturally writes entertainment storylines. And if Boston can even get themselves to a game seven,
that'd be awesome. It'd be great.
An opportunity at TD Garden against the Miami Heat, pulling from an 0-3 to get to a 3-3 with a game seven. Come on. That would be spectacular. And at that point, I would probably want them to win the game seven.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Just to be able to say, we watched it, we saw it happen, and this at least puts them in a position where that's a possibility. We might see some type of fantastic comeback. But it ain't going to happen.
I was looking at some numbers. I think ESPN said it's only happened three times. The only time I could remember was and just because it happened here, the Jazz and the Nuggets in 94, when the Jazz were up 3-0, Denver won three in a row, but the Jazz won game seven. So that's the only time I remember. Apparently it's happened two other times. Now, in all three instances, the team that led 3-0 won game seven. But look, if it got there and it happened, I would be full on let's go Celtics. Yeah.
That's what I hope happens.
As a sports fan, you just want to see things you've never seen before.
That's it. That's why we love what we do.
Look, when Ryan Odom's team beat Virginia in the 16-1 upset, we were all fired up because we'd never seen it before. And we were fired up because, hey, look, it's never happened. When the Red Sox, even though it had happened before in baseball, but when the Red Sox were down 0-3 to the Yankees in the ALCS, back in 2004, 2005, and they came back and won. Hey, I hadn't seen it before. It was awesome. So it would be great to see it. Eventually, it will happen in the NBA where somebody's down 0-3 and comes back and wins a series. It might be this year. I hope so because, look, we're all about seeing history. It'd be great.
Yeah, I still believe one of the greatest things I've ever watched in sports was LeBron down 3-1 to Golden State.
Yeah.
Still one of the greatest things I've ever watched. Those comebacks are incredible. And a game seven being pushed from 0-3 would be spectacular. It's just unfathomable that that could possibly happen. It is the furthest thing from belief, and that's why it would be so exciting to see it. At least you get yourself to a 3-1. At least you get to see Game 5 coming up on Thursday. And maybe Boston does find the spark, and maybe Mazzulla does hold on to his job. Who knows? Because I still think that there's some left to be written in this. But if for those of you that watch this game, I think all of us through the better part of the first half just believed it was over and Boston was done. It was a 9 or 10 point lead in the first half, and Miami definitely felt like the dominant team that wanted to end it. And then Boston goes on that 18-0 run,
yeah,
and it changed everything. They were 6 of 7 from the floor during that run, 4 of 4 from three, and Tatum had 9 of his 18 points in that 18-0 run, and it took them from down 9 to up 9 in that quick span, and then Boston held on to it and ended up with a very dominant win.
And is there, as cool as it was to see, and as great it was as it was to see Boston, you know, get that W, it still doesn't lead you to believe that anything's going to change in this series. The only thing I can look at here is, hey, you're down 3-1. You can't talk about winning. Okay, we got to win 3 in a row. You just got to take one at a time. And Game 5 is in Boston. So you're like, okay, we got to find a way to win Game 5. Knowing that Game 7 will eventually be in Boston, too. So, but you just focus on, look, we're going to be at home. Let's win a game at home. And then you win a game in Miami. And then you worry about that game. But 2 out of the next 3 are in Boston. If it goes that far, if I'm the Celtics, I'm thinking maybe I got a little momentum. But again, maybe I'm just trying to talk myself into hoping that we see some history. But I just don't think it's going to happen. I'd love to see it, but I think it probably ends in Game 5 and Miami just shuts the door on this thing.
Where would Miami be if they had Oladipo and their 3-shooter, Tyler Hero? How much would Tyler Hero or Oladipo, how much would those guys affect or change this?
I think it makes a difference.
Because I saw a story, I can't remember at what point, but they were talking about how Tyler Hero is at least getting back into action a bit.
I think you have a chance to see him, especially if Miami's able to close this thing out with some rest coming up and some time. I from everything I've read, I think good chance you'll see him in the NBA Finals. Oladipo, I don't know about him.
No, I doubt that, but I was curious because Miami's making this run and they're doing it without really two of their names.
And with Hero, with an elite NBA shooter, with a team that's already shot the lights out.
Yeah.
And you add him to the mix.
Yeah, what do you do? Now,
with all that being said, do you think they have a chance against Denver?
No.
I don't either.
No, I don't.
But then again, I didn't think they'd beat Milwaukee. You go down the list, I didn't think they'd win any of these series.
Denver has built that crazy aura of intimidation, invincibility. No, I don't think Miami would have a chance, even with Tyler Hero. Maybe you throw Victor Oladipo and Tyler Hero out there. Now that Gabe Vincent has kind of surfaced, and Gabe Vincent went out yesterday in that game.
Yep.
I don't know how bad that injury is, but Vincent was kind of the hero of Game 3. He was 29 points from Gabe Vincent. That was Game 3, right?
Yeah. He played 28 minutes.
Hopefully he's not hurt too bad.
For a team that had been so elite shooting the 3-ball, and last night they were 8 of 32, 25%. That's coming back down to earth.
Yeah, I went through and I was tracking Miami Heat through the Milwaukee series, then the Miami Heat through the New York series, and then the Heat so far through this Boston series. And there are major waves. They'll give you a 25%, but then they've got a 54%,
yeah,
or 52%, or 48%, or 40%. they've hit some really big numbers on the perimeters through this. I want to say that the lowest shooting percent from the perimeter where they got the win, I think was 30 or 31% when I was looking at it this morning, where they didn't knock the lights out with their three, but still got a win. You were talking about their series average so far against Boston. It's ridiculous what they're doing from the perimeter, but this brings them back to earth a little bit. And it shows that they're not going to be able to hit that 40 plus mark every single night. And if they don't, then you got a shot. Thing is, they've got three games to hit that shooter's choice.
Yeah, they just need one game.
Got to just hit one of the three.
Which is going to happen. Yeah, there's going to be one night where they'll shoot 45 plus from three, and Boston can't compete with that.
I agree. They'll get up 32, 33 attempts.
Now, are they going to be able to do that in four games in the NBA Finals against Denver? Probably not.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think Denver's got some exhaustible players on that didn't want to play defense through the regular season.
Yeah.
But have kicked it up a notch since. Watching Jamal play defense on LeBron was pretty impressive.
Yeah. Watching Aaron Gordon play defense.
Watching Aaron Gordon on Kevin Durant was insanely impressive. Jokic still doesn't want to play any defense.
No.
He still has no intention.
Which is fine.
He'll get you a rebound. He'll get you a steal now and then.
Yeah.
But he's not going to give you a lot of defense. But it'll give you everything you've got on offense.
And this is why I think LeBron is, well, I mean, look, there's a lot of reasons why LeBron's at the tail end. And I meant to bring this up yesterday. I had it in my notes about the game. But there was LA's second to last. Yeah, because it was a tie game. It was LA's second to last possession. They had a chance to take the lead. They didn't get the look, and Denver scored on the next possession, and then LA had the ill-fated possession to try to tie the game and send it in overtime. But LeBron was matched up against Jokic. And I'm thinking, you got to take him to the rim. You got to attack him because Jokic isn't going to play defense. And LeBron passed out of that possession. And it was like, that was it. That was the matchup you wanted. Go attack him. He had five fouls. You attack him. You tried to, or yeah, did
anyway. Well, there was the he got the fifth, but didn't they review it?
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
Yeah,
but anyway, he's in foul trouble. You know, he's not going to want to. If that game goes into overtime, he's not going to want to take foul trouble into OT.
Yeah,
and so you had a chance to attack, and you had a chance to go after him. And LeBron passed out of it. And that was the moment where I thought, yeesh, big time LeBron isn't going to give up the ball in this situation.
No.
That's not the time for you to be a facilitator.
He runs right up your chest.
Yeah, especially when you have that matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And Jokic, elite, MVP, Hall of Famer, maybe the best player in the league right now. Certainly arguable. And... but on the defensive side, yeah, the dude's a bit of a sieve, and they didn't go after him, which was shocking to me. Miami will do everything they can to exploit that. I still don't think it's going to be enough.
What probability do you give to Boston being able to come out of this now 1-3
to win the series?
Uh huh. Less than 5%.
10. I give him a 10% chance.
You give him that high?
Yeah. And maybe I'm being a bit too optimistic.
It would be the first out of 178?
79?
179?
Yeah.
I give him a 2%. Just can't even imagine it.
I think
in the next three games, unless Jimmy Butler goes down or something.
Yeah.
And severe.
I think only of the teams that have been down 0-3, I think only 40 of them have even got to game six.
Really?
Out of the 179. Usually they lose in game four or game five, the series.
So now you go back to Boston.
Yeah.
So as you mentioned, they've got to get that win at home.
Yeah. If they win that game, then all bets are on the table right now.
Because you've already taken one in Miami, yeah. So you know it's possible.
Yeah.
At that point, all the pressure gets put on Miami.
Yeah, Miami starts to clench up a little bit.
Yeah. You don't want to get those.
And when you clench up, you're not shooting nearly as well as you were before.
So does this save Joe Mazzulla's job? The 3-1? Does the one win?
Well, who did we talk to yesterday?
Avoiding the sweep.
Who did we have on yesterday that said he didn't think he'd get fired? Yeah, Sean Devaney did not think he'd be fired. And that was when he was down 0-3. So we'll talk to Kurt Heelan later today, get his opinion on it. I thought for sure if they lost and they got swept, that he'd be out of a job. He gets one, might save his job. If he gets two, I absolutely believe it. Because here's the other thing, too, Hans, you got to look at, is that that team responded down 0-3. We talked about this yesterday. If that team didn't want Joe Mazzulla, they'd roll over and play dead.
Yeah, because
get to Cancun quickly. They know the coach is going to be gone if they get swept. But they fought for him last night. And if I'm a GM and if I'm a team president and owner, I look at the way the team responded down 0-3, knowing that if they lost, there's a good chance their coach might get fired. They played hard for him last night, especially in that third quarter when it would have been really easy to just roll over and play dead. You're already in Miami, so you can just stay there and kick off your vacation there, your summer vacation. Mm-hmm. But no, they fought and they played well for him, so that might have earned him a stay of execution. .12:45, Hans and Scotty, what you may have missed coming up next. Also coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll chat with Matt Parrino, get his thoughts on the Buffalo Bills and Dalton Kincaid as OTAs, minicamps underway in the NFL, still a couple months away from training camp. We'll give you an update on the top 60 and 60 as we have a conundrum on our hands. We are stuck at 61. Somebody's got to go, and we're not quite sure how to get there.
Look at me.
Lloyd wouldn't budge?
Well, Lloyd...
I've already budged.
Lloyd copied and pasted the entire Utah roster, and we had to whittle that down a little bit.
It's not,
and that was my budge. That was me budging, so...
It's not going to be a big surprise, though, that Utah is going to have a lot of players in this.
Yeah.
But I think... I don't know. We'll take a look at it. I'm waiting for a response back on one individual.
Okay. And again, the coaches have a big say on that final list. I had had a couple guys. I met with Blake Anderson on who he wanted. I had a couple guys on the list, and he just went big old, like, scratched him out. Like it was our high school term paper. Just, nope, nope, nope.
You have an interesting one that... I feel like those stats for a certain guy.
Yeah,
double.
I'm having a hard time, and
that's the guy
that's right there on the bubble, and he might get knocked out. I don't know. We're having a tough time on this. 12:46, Hans and Scotty. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Barry Trammell, sports columnist for the Oklahoman. You got a quote.
Of course, you're talking about the Big 12 coach. You told me Colorado's coming soon.
What is your gut instinct on this?
My gut instinct, really, until the last few weeks, was that the Pac-12's going to stay together. It just made too much sense. The difference of $2 million a year is not worth being in a conference out of your time zone or your tradition or your heritage or your history. But the deeper we get into this and the crazy nature of the marketplace, it looks like there's some fundamental problems with the television market. 3 months ago, I said, well, yeah, they're going to be able to work this out. And now I'm just not so sure. So I think it's more likely than ever that some PAC schools are coming to the Big 12. I've changed my opinion. I think it's now likely. 3 months ago, I didn't think it was likely.
Catch DJ and PK, mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Time to Hans Olsen and Scotty Cheer.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right. It is a Wednesday, which means it's a win ticket Wednesday. Caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. 801-575-ZONE, you'll win a pair of tickets to see Sam Smith in concert at the Delta Center coming up on August 19th. By the way, Hans, she was quite popular in our youth. Tina Turner has passed away at the age of 83 years old. We don't need another hero. She's passed away.
What was her most famous song?
What's Love Got to Do with It? We Don't Need Another Hero.
What was the song that video was like from, like Thunderdome?
I think that.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. She with Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mad Max.
A song to it, yeah.
I thought it was Hero. And then, of course, she did her and her husband, Ike Turner, Proud Mary. So, yeah, a lot of great songs. Did a couple songs with Bryan Adams.
How old was she?
83 years old. I had no idea she was that old.
She lived a good life.
What'd she do with Bryan? What's Love Got to Do with It?
No. I can't remember the name of the song. It's on the Reckless album. It's Only Love. So there you go. Tina Turner, no longer with us. Passing away at the age of 83. All right, Hans, what you may have missed right here on The Zone. Obviously, that is torn all of us apart right now. We're trying to get through it together.
And we will. We'll find a way.
If I asked you before to name a Tina Turner song, could you have done it?
No.
Really?
I don't think so.
No kidding.
Mm-mm. I might be raring that, though. I would have got What's Love Got to Do with It.
Yeah, because she had a career resurgence when we were, you know, mid-80s, mid to late-80s, and then not much since then.
What you may have missed, the official list has been put out for the Jake and Ben show. Sarah just released it.
Oh, boy. All right.
And you, my friend, take center stage.
I didn't want Gina Davis.
You had to take Gina Davis because you said Gina Davis. I was trying to switch out Kelly LeBrock. If you didn't hear our first segment, I was on with Jake Scott filling in for Ben at 11 o'clock today, and we went through the What You Got Wednesday. The two categories were best defensive lineman from the state of Utah, best college football defensive lineman from the state of Utah, and then it was best leading ladies. And I think I knocked it out of the park with Julie Andrews, Julia Roberts, Meryl Streep, and then I went a little bit personal. I let my own heart speak a little bit too much. Molly Ringwald and Kelly LeBrock. Jake went with Elizabeth Taylor, Diane Lane, Scarlett Johansson, Holly Hunter, and Frances McDormand. And I believe Holly Hunter and Frances McDormand probably his two best picks, then Diane Lane.
Yeah.
Scotty, you went Sigourney Weaver, Gina Davis, Kate Beckinsale, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Jennifer Lawrence. I actually think that these three lists are going to be difficult.
By the way, that was not in that order, but we'll take that. That's fine.
The Sigourney one.
I don't want like Sigourney Weaver being like my number one overall pick.
When I think of your list, I think of Sigourney.
I don't know why you're hating on Sigourney Weaver. That's a hell of an actress right there. She's been in a lot of stuff. Ghostbusters. Come Alien. On, you go down the Aliens.
And that's like it.
Avatar.
You bring up Avatar of all people, you? Huh. Okay.
Ghostbusters?
I already said Ghostbusters. Did.
Avatar?
Dana Barrett?
No Dana, only Zool.
Yeah, we know that we missed on the big one. That one would have got somebody over the top. I can't believe we both missed on Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, not that. That wasn't good.
Dang, that would have been a...
And we're going to take a lot of heat for that.
Yeah, that would have been a topper. That would have been a game changer. The defense.
Remember remember the show Dave? Where she was the...
No.
I know you... We've talked about this. You should watch that. I think you'd actually like that show.
Oh, is that a newer?
No, it's old. 90s.
Oh.
She's married to the president.
defensive linemen, here was the list. Jake got Phil Olson, Luther Ellis, Starlo Dalele, Jan Jorgensen, and Steve Fifita.
Okay.
I got Merlin Olson, Nate Orchard, Jason Buck, Paul Kruger, and Hunter Dimmick.
Yeah, you got that one.
I got that one.
Yeah, you did well on that.
I've got the two Outland Trophy Award winners.
Yeah.
I've got the regular seasons. Has anybody had more sacks in a year than Nate Orchard in the state?
No, I believe not.
I think he had the best sack season in a single career in the state. And I feel good about Paul Kruger.
No, you did well on that one.
You could have rotated Bradley and I or Hunter Dimmick, but I felt like Bradley was an incredible pass rush artist and a great defensive end. Hunter was great at stopping the run. He was a great run stopper.
All right, 1 o'clock straight up. Matt Perino is going to join us next. We'll check in with the Buffalo Bills. Kurt Heedlin will join us coming up at 2:05. It's all straight ahead, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.